Trinity of God, and I've been going through pretty in-depth. And last week we studied on reprobation. But today I'm going to start on a different subject today with the year 2003. And it's something that I would really appreciate for people who think that, you know what, year 2002 was good, but there were times I could have done better. Year 2002, I messed it up. Year 2002, you know, when I really look, I should have served the Lord more. I had been really coming to church, haven't been really getting into the Word, but I really want to serve the Lord. And a new year. Of course, we send season's greetings to people. May you have a blessed and a prosperous year. And, people usually say that you'll be blessed this year. And, a lot of times when you talk about a blessing, what is a true blessing? That's what we are going to see today. The true blessing. The true blessing. And some people might say, well, I was really blessed last year because, you know, I got a good job. I got a new car. I got married. Or you can say, I got this one. I got all these material things. I was blessed. Or somebody can say that, you know what? I was truly blessed because I found a good church. But what is a true blessing? Do you want to be truly blessed this year? Year 2003, and I want to show you through the Word of God how you can be truly blessed. What the Lord Jesus Christ said about this true blessing. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, starting from verse 27. 27 says, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb and that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the true blessing. As we have a very small congregation here, very small fellowship here, on the big scale, if you look at the big picture, we have a huge audience of people who are listening to our website, we send a lot of audio tapes. So the message that I gave is not only coming to this fellowship, but it goes all over. And here in this scripture, there are a lot of people are blessed by hearing the word of God. Many people come and hear the word of God and they are blessed. But still, they come short of that true blessing. Many people hear the word of God, but you really come short of the blessing, the true blessing. The true blessing is not only hearing the word of God, but keeping it and obeying the word. Otherwise, there's no blessing at all. True blessedness is to hear the word of God and keep it. What is, when you talk about the blessedness or the blessing of God, what does it really mean, the word blessing? We are going to see that. If you turn with me to Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The word blessing, when you take the word blessing, the opposite of blessing is what? The curse. So the word blessing is always in the presence of God. That the face of God, his light, would shine upon you. This word, what you're hearing, is a light that comes to our heart. And the blessing that comes from the Word, the light, through this light, we come to know the Lord, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Word. So here, the blessing is that God's Word, His face, would shine upon in our, on us. And the curse is what? Curse is something that you're away from God. You're in darkness. That's what Jesus said to the unbelievers who are not following Him. At the end, hell is a place that you're, what did He say? Cursed are the ones. You're cursed because they are away from God. They're in darkness. So the blessing is, Jesus did not say in the book of Luke, blessed are those who hear the word of God. He said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the true blessedness. Now, in this true blessedness, what's going to happen is, when you are truly blessed, when you keep the word of God, there is a transformation that is going to happen. A transformation. There's a change of life that is going to happen. Jesus did not say, blessed are those who believe in the word of God. There are a lot of people who would believe. Even demons believe in God. And they shudder. But blessed are the ones who would hear and keep it. Also, remember, there are many people who would hear the word of God. Many people would hear the word of God, and also that they would keep the word of God, but they are not blessed. You might say, well, what is that? Well, there are many people, many men who preach damnable errors and heresies. And there are a lot of people who believe and they keep it. And this kind of thing, and that's not a blessing at all. That's a curse. Right? Many people who preach from the pulpit all kinds of errors through the word of God. Out of context. And many people believe it. And they even hold fast to those errors. But that's a curse. So what we are saying is that if the sermon in context, in accordance with the word of God, and you're hearing it, then you keep it. Wow, that's a blessing. One of the Hebrew words for blessing is berek, B-E-R-E-K. And if you really see what it means the knee. Well, when you come before a king, before a sovereign king, firstly, what you do is you bend your knee in submission. So the true blessing is what? Submission to the King of Heaven, to our Heavenly Father, bowing your knee in submission to the Word of God. Remember the story of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. If you turn with me to Genesis 32, 24. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. The socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And here Jacob is wrestling with the angel of the Lord. This is Lord himself. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You want a true blessing this year? And I'll tell you. Then what happened here is, so he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, Tell me your name, I pray. And he said, Why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And here we see, just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Jacob got a blessing, but it was not an easy blessing. He had to limp because God caused his hip to get out of joint when he wrestled him. And I'll tell you, also you see here that his name was changed to Israel. You know the meaning of Israel? The meaning of Israel is governed by God. Jacob, it was not easy to get that blessing. It's easy to ask for blessing, but when God is going to take control of you, when God gives a blessing, and a lot of sacrifices he had to make, and those are not easy. And also, you're not governed by yourself now. Amen. You are governed by God. Amen. God takes control. That's a true blessing. When the word of God comes to you, and you keep it, then it's not your will that you're going to do. Amen. Because your will is always the easy way out. But God's will is always difficult, but is very beneficial spiritually. And Jacob was changed to Israel. Now, remember, when God gave his commandments to the children of Israel, many people believed his word. People saw miracles of God. And people, they even say, we want to obey the word of God. But I'll tell you, many did not obey. There was a time when God pronounced them a curse. You remember, there are two mountains in Israel. One is called Ebal, and the other one is called Gerizim. Ebal and Gerizim. One side you get Ebal, the other side you get Gerizim, and right in the middle, there's a valley. And how many tribes are there in Israel? 12 tribes, right? On Ebal, there were 6 tribes on top of the mountain, and Gerizim, there were another 6 tribes. And God told the high priests, the Levites, who are in this, they are right in the middle, the Levites, the high priests, with the Ark of God. And the Levites pronounced a curse to the tribes on Ebal, who are the tribes, 6 tribes who are on the mountain of Ebal. And these were terrible curses, dreadful curses. When it was pronounced, it was ended with an amen. Because they were not obedient to the word of God. And then 6 tribes were on the mountain of Gerizim. Priests of Levites were in the middle of the valley. They pronounced a blessing to them. Because they were obedient to God. And there was a joyful amen. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 27, 11 to 14. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan. Then he gives the tribes here, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, and here comes the cursing and the blessing. And my question to you is, where were you? Which mountain were you on 2002? There are only 2 places. Either you are on the cursed mountain or you are on the blessed mountain. Right in the middle is the word of God, with the Ark of God, the presence of God. There is no other place for you. You cannot have one foot over here and the other foot over there. It has to be one place. Now, you can be on the Mount of Gerizim starting with this year if you are going to hear the word of your God and then keep it. We have heard a lot of scriptures in year 2002. We have heard good sermons. We have heard a lot of good scriptures. But how many times we heard and how many times we forgot? After 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you have forgotten the whole thing. When you go home, you forget the whole sermon. Because you come here, you hear the word of God for 1 hour. And after that, when you exit, you got more important things to do. And you forget the word of God. And the rest of the week, you have a lot of, so much pressure at work and different things happening in your surrounding life. And when you come next Sunday, you come here for another blessing. But like that, how many times you heard the word of God and it was so blessing to your heart, but you forgot? That's not a blessing at all. That's what happened to the children of Israel, 6 tribes who were in the mountain of Ebal. They heard it, but at the end pronounced a curse. Of course, we have heard the scriptures. We know the scriptures that says that not only we need to hear the word, but we need to obey the word. We need to practice what is preached. We have heard like John 14:23, when Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my words. We have heard those scriptures. We have heard in James that say not only hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. We know those scriptures. And we have heard those scriptures many times. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Luke 12. Today is not to really go on those scriptures, but to show the consequences, the result, what is going to happen if you don't keep the word of God. So Luke chapter 12, starting from verse 42. Let's start from verse 47, sorry. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now here we see the story of a man who knew the master's will. There are many people who know that it is says in the Bible that you need not only to hear the word, but also to keep his word. You knew this. You know the will of God. That will of God is the one who not only hears, but obeys the word. But this person did not keep the will of God. He knew it. And he says here that he shall be beaten with many stripes. But who did not know, verse 48, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. What we see in these scriptures is this. There are degrees of punishment. There are some people who doesn't know the Lord, who are unbelievers. There is a less punishment. But if you come here and hear the word of God, and you know God, and you know this is what needs to be done, yet if you don't do it, the punishment will be more severe. And that's what it says here. The punishment will be more severe. In Isaiah chapter 22, you see the burden against the valley of Bishan. And here, this burden of the valley of Bishan, that is Jerusalem. And the burden, this valley of vision that is in Jerusalem, was heavy of all the others. It was a place where knowledge, people knew the knowledge on the word of God, Jerusalem. Knowledge was there. The preaching was there. Therefore, the burden was heavier than Babylon, than Tyre, or than Damascus. Many will go to hell for their disobedience. They hear the gospel. They profess and, they hear the word of God. They shall go to hell with a heavier load. Damned with a witness. That is the word of God. But because they didn't keep it. And if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10:25. Jeremiah 10:25. 10:25, the word of God says, pour out your fury on Israel. Right? No. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you. And the families who do not call on your name, for they have eaten up Jacob. And here we see God's word is saying that the pour out your fury on the Gentiles. These Gentiles, they are ignorant in the word of God. They don't know the word of God. They are lost. They have no knowledge in the word of God. Yet, God's fury is going to come upon them. But how much more are the people who have heard the word of God? If God's fury is going to come upon Gentiles who haven't heard the word of God, who are ignorant, how much more is that fury is going to be upon people who have heard the word of God? And who knows this is what I have to do, but yet willfully they are sinning daily against God. His fury is going to be greater. Hell is going to be harder for them. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 12 says, the sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. Sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the word. Know the Lord. Now let me ask you, who is Eli? He's a high priest. But his sons were corrupt. And God says, I don't know them. Of course God knows them. God knows everybody. But how come he says that God says, I don't know them? Because knowing here is somebody that you know intimately, having a fellowship with that person. Remember how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 verse, let me read it for you. Jesus said in Matthew 7, say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Away, depart from me, who practice lawlessness. And there are many people who will come and tell, Lord, we came to church. We heard the word of God. We even took communion. Jesus, I don't know you. Who are you? Eli was a high priest. He was a godly man, but his sons were not. And God said, I don't know them. I don't know them. Because they are corrupt. And if you remember, even during Jesus' time, people, they heard the word of God. They saw the miracles. But Jesus said, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, the fury that comes from these people, this generation, is going to be much greater responsibility because they heard the word. The fury or the punishment that is going to happen on Sodom and Gomorrah is lesser in a sense, to the people that have heard the word of God, in a sense that they saw the miracles of Jesus. How much more us today? Huh? We have the whole counsel of God here, where many people did not have the word of God at that time. Mm-hmm. We have different translations according to your own taste. We have so much tools we can study. We have so much comforts today for the access of the word of God. Mm-hmm. We have given so much blessings out there. But yet, if you are not going to use those resources and tools for growth and edification so that you can be conformed to the Son of the Lord Jesus, conformed to His image, what's the use? It's going to be a curse. And that means what we saw was many, you will have to go through punishment. Many stripes will come upon those people who have heard the word of God and yet will not obey. The punishment is going to be severe and great. You think hell is hot? You think there's a lake of fire? It's going to be more severe to the people who are disobedient. Now, I got to tell the truth. I got to tell the truth. It's the word of God, so I got to tell you. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, 8:18, the Lord said, "Therefore take heed how you hear." Important. Take heed how you hear. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have even what seems to have will be taken from him." Take heed how you hear. Now I'm going to give you some encouragement now. The first thing what I want to show you is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the best example I can give you. The example is the Father Son love relationship. Throughout eternity, there's a great love relationship between the Father and the Son. And the Son and the Father, God gave His Son, right? And the Son voluntarily left heaven, left His throne, and came down to this earth. And He was obedient to the will of the Father. You know that scripture, Philippians chapter 2, 7. How He emptied Himself, although being God, emptied Himself and became obedient to the cross. And we know that this submission, this is obedience. Okay? We are talking obedience, the blessing. This obedience to the Father, of course, was real. It's genuine. You know why? Because He loved the Father. And it is genuine. We saw that the Son did not even have a place to lay His head. He was living in poverty. And He was poor. Was born in a manger. And He didn't have what we have like today. And He was living in poverty, and He was ridiculed by the Pharisees, and He went through a lot of trials and persecutions. But yet, He did not grumble. He did not murmur. What we are seeing is this obedience to the Father, this service to the Father, is He did it in a joyful manner. Although He went through a lot of hardships and difficulty. Now I know some people make a great effort and say, you know what? This year I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to commit myself, and they will start with a bang. But at the end, David grumbled and said, wow, this is not easy. It's like the children of Israel in the wilderness, they will murmur and grumble. God doesn't want that kind of service. It has to be a joyful service. It has to be done joyfully. And Jesus, because Jesus had such a love relationship with the Father, the pain that he went through did nothing at all when we compare to the love relationship that he had with the Father. Need to do. Here, the will of the Father, Jesus was able to accomplish. He did not come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father. Amen. I'll tell you. What an example. If you truly love God, this is the example, okay? If you truly love God, then what will you do? You will, no matter what trials and persecutions or what kind of things that come your way, you will joyfully submit to the Lord. The obedience is not going to be a burden, but it's a joy. The work is not going to be a burdensome work, but it's going to be a joy. And then, 1 John gives us this, 1 John tells us, if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, says that Jesus should be our example. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And here we see, the person who says, I know Jesus, I know God, but does not keep his commandments, the word of God says, you're a liar. But verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him as he, no, then he says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. See that? That is the example. We follow Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow God. So we need to be following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the result of this blessing? What is the result of the blessing? The result of the blessing is this. The Word of God is so powerful. When you hear the Word of God, it's going to transform your life. God created the Word of God. No, I'm sorry. God created this world by the Word of God. Right? He spoke the Word without any labor and it came to being. It's so powerful, the Word of God. Remember Jesus, there's a great storm and everybody thought on the boat they're going to die, the disciples, right? But he just spoke the Word and there was calmness. The storm stopped. So there's great power in the Word of God. So here we see, when you hear the Word of God, that's not going to bless you. But if you keep it in your heart, in your soul, that will transform you. You can never change a nature of a pig, right? You can get a pig and bring a pig and put him in the bathtub and give a good shower, you know, and a bath and put shampoo and tie a ribbon if you want to. Put a nice dress on the pig. And, you know, after a little while, as soon as you open the door, the pig will run again back into the mud. Right? You can never change the nature of a pig. But I'll tell you, we are corrupt people, just like a pig. Amen. But God can change our nature. Amen. By the power of the Word of God. Amen.
as a transformation. But if you hear the word of God and you say, you know what? Look at the year 2002. Have you been changed? Many of you have been hearing the word, coming here, and see the changes. Just evaluate the changes. Or are you still the same? What kind of growth do you have? What kind of fruits did you attain? Are you still the same? That means if you're still the same, no changes, you're just a hearer. You just hear the word of God. There are no changes in you. That means it's a curse. It's not going to be a blessing to you, but it's a curse. What does that mean? The result, when you die, the judgment of God is going to come upon you with fury. The judgment is going to fall upon you with great fury. That means the punishment in hell is going to be much severe. Now, the result of the blessing is that it will transform your life if you keep the word of God in your heart, right? And the second thing is that we can worship God. You can never worship God if you don't obey the word. You cannot. Only being obedient to the word of God, you can truly worship God. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, 20. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. See the blessing. So all the assembly blessed the Lord, God of their fathers, and bowed their heads, prostrated themselves before the Lord and the King. And here we see blessing the Lord is truly what? Worshipping Him. Worshipping Him. Many people, they say, I'm blessed of all the material things. Many people worship material things. Many people worship false religions. Many people worship the Hollywood movie stars, the sports stars, the idols. Many people worship the darkness of evil, Satan. The true blessedness is that you hear the word, you keep the word, and then you will be changed by the power of God, so you can worship God now. That's the blessedness. Remember, the children of Israel, when they were slaves to Pharaoh, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go so they can worship me. God brought them from darkness, took them from darkness, brought them to the light. So why? So that you can worship me. Are you worshiping God? My question. Listen. Are you worshiping God? Which mountain do you belong to? Why you come here? Come here. Is it just to get because you want to show God that I'm a Christian? Show your ID? Or, you know, many people, a lot of times we are very good in fooling other people and fooling ourselves. But God cannot be fooled. God cannot be mocked. So, remember what we heard. These are sermons. This is a very easy one. This is a simple one. Even a little kindergarten kid can understand this stuff. This is not heavy-duty, deep theology today. All right? But this is something very simple. Very simple to understand. That you, I beg you, I really ask you to start this new year with a good motive. And that is that you come and you hear the word of God and you go home and you meditate on what you heard and you will meditate. You read the word, you study the word, that you would meditate on scriptures, you start memorizing some scriptures, and you know when the things becomes bad, and that you will not just be swayed every kind of doctrine or anything like that, that you'd really fall on your knees and pray and seek the word through the Lord and ask God where to go. Don't be in a rush to make decisions. Wait upon the Lord. He will renew you. And a lot of us today, we want instant ways to get out from our problems. You know, we are living in a society that everything is instant. But I'll tell you, it's so important that we trust, not in people's opinions, not in philosophy, not in anything else, but on the word of God alone. Then ask the Lord to change you, that you can be used as his servant. A servant is a person who is serving the master. Are you serving God today? What kind of serving do you do? Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ? Are you, ask the question that you need to ask. If you're a servant, you do something, right? Amen. Or are you just say you're a servant, but you are really not, only by name? So, it's a place that you can get involved. It's a place that you can serve God, just like how Jesus came and set that example. You can do it joyfully. We can truly worship God. Christianity is a lifestyle that we can worship God. Not only here in the church, but anywhere, everywhere. It's a lifestyle that we are the light of the world. So I want to give you this with these instructions and the warnings that I gave you. Take it deep into your heart today and don't take it lightly. Because I'll tell you, if you take it lightly, I heard this before, I'll tell you, there's a time that you have to face Almighty God. No time to repent at that time. You have the Word of God. You have everything. Wow, what a blessing is that? There are a lot of people, they don't have it. And we see the letters that we are getting from Africa, and from India and other parts of the country. Man, how truly those people are blessed with the little materials that we send. And we have so many booklets here in this. Our church has so many booklets. I mean, great materials. People are hungering after this. Are you reading them? People, other parts of the world, they are reading. What about you? And we are just close. It's like Jesus, right? Like the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Jews. I mean, everybody was waiting for Jesus. They were waiting for the Messiah, but the Messiah was within them, but they missed him. The same way, we got so many things right in front of our face, but yet we can miss it. But other people who don't have, they'll be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Oh Father, we ask, Lord, that your word will not go out empty, Lord. It will accomplish its purpose. The word of God that we heard today, Lord, will bring much fruit, Lord, to glorify your name. So Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that we would fall on our feet and ask, God, if there's anything wicked in me, Lord, examine my heart and see if there's anything wicked in me. Oh, Father, there are so many wicked things in our hearts that we don't want to give up. As Jesus said, men love their darkness. They love their sin. That's why they don't want to come to Lord, come to know the Lord, because they love their darkness. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that only You can do the salvation. Only You can do the change, and we can. So Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that Your grace would fall upon us, Lord. Father, cause us to realize that it's You, not us, Lord. Lord, cause us to realize, Lord, when we see that we are wicked, that we are miserable, that we are filthy, great sinners. And also, Lord, cause us to realize that there's a great judgment that is going to come upon us. There's a fury of God is going to pour upon us. Because we have sinned against You. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that we will humble ourselves and fall at Your feet and ask for true repentance. Yes. That we would turn from our evil ways to the righteousness of God by the grace of God alone. Yes. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that You would change us, Lord. Through the Word of God, that You would give us a great desire and a hunger to follow after You, Lord. We have so much great desires for the material things, so much hunger for the material things. As Jesus said, in the last days, there's so much sin that the love of God will grow cold because of sin being so rampant. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that when we are brought into temptations from every direction, that we would not fall into those temptations like the worldly people, but we would crucify this flesh, Lord. Nevertheless, not us, but You will live through us, Lord. That You will be triumphant, Lord. Oh, Father, cause us to worship You in a true manner, Lord. Through Jesus Christ, Lord, and cause us to see the example that is set, Lord, that we can have a true love relationship with You, Lord, through Jesus Christ, what He has done for us, Lord, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, how He reconciled the sinner who hated God, the sinner who was enmity with God. Now we are being reconciled through Jesus Christ because of His works on the cross, that we can adore You, we can love You, we can worship You, that we can serve You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.